the truth.
Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the fickle bitch of free speech because we record on Skype and Skype is one fickle bitch. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the badly needed funding to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators will be standing by. All right, this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show, and it's being broadcast at noon Central, not 1 Central. Our live listeners don't need to know that, but everybody else does, or maybe not. I don't know. But at any rate, Jeremy's here with me. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Patrick. By the way, the book of the week drawing is One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. If you donate $100 or more, you can win this book from John Statmiller's library. This book of the week is going on until January 22nd. And also we have the Rebel Madman Rebel Flag Quilt that you can win. If you want to do $250 donation, you can be part of the book of the week and in the drawing for the quilt. It's a beautiful quilt. There's a cute little doggy on it. If you can go to the
dog not included.
Dog not included, but the dog is cute nonetheless. So, but you will get like in addition to the quilt, RBN bumper stickers and various items that you can show for RBN with. So please donate. Get your $250 in. Go for the gold. Go for the book and the quilt. You won't be sorry. That's all I will add to your shilling.
Okay, good. All right. So on yesterday's show, we were talking a lot about certain things. We talked about Vivek Ramaswamy and other stuff. What do we have for today?
Well, there's protesters, pro-Palestinian protesters marching through Manhattan. Mm-hmm. This protest of Israel killing children in Palestine and bombing hospitals, it's not going to go away anytime soon. And the left is going to take this up as a mantle, because that's how the Jews have conditioned them. And they're going to keep protesting and they're not going to stop. In this particular situation, they were protesting outside of a cancer clinic in New York. Let's see what the name of this is. Stormer picked this up from the New York Post. Thousands of anti-Israel protesters descended on Manhattan and demanded a ceasefire in Gaza on Monday, with some even targeting a respected hospital for cancer patients.
Would that be Mount Sinai? What's the name of the hospital?
Let's see. Sloan Kettering.
Oh, okay.
Sloan Kettering. So I looked this up, and I was curious, is this a Jewish-created hospital, or is this a hospital that caters to individuals who just happen to be Jewish because of its location? I couldn't find the Rothschilds funded it. You know, I found that the Rothschilds may or may not be Jewish, but apparently the protesters were outside of this cancer hospital because it caters to children with cancer. And so I guess the protest was, how can you support Israel and genociding children when that's what you're supposed to be catering to and protecting, our, you know, child cancer victims? That's on the one hand. Do you know, is this particular hospital Jewish funded, Jewish ran? why would they target this cancer hospital in Manhattan?
I don't know. There are well-known Jewish hospitals. So I mentioned Mount Sinai. I'm pretty sure there's a Mount Sinai hospital in New York. There's one that's got an even more Jewy name to it. I don't know what it is, but there are some that are very obviously Jewish. Sloan Catering. I mean, Sloan is an Irish name. So I don't know. It may very well have Jewish management, or it may be something like, if it's a children's hospital, it may be something like trying to get people to think about all the children in Gaza who are dying. You know,
yeah.
If children are worth saving in this country, why are you killing them in another country? It might be something like that. I'm glad they're not shutting down bridge traffic because that's not a good look. But I'm really glad that people are protesting and in large numbers, and that people aren't backing down. Not that I don't really expect public sentiment in the United States as being a determining factor. I think the determining factors in this are going to be things that happen overseas. And we were talking yesterday or an hour ago about Iran and about Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Iran in particular. And I think events in other countries are going to be much more decisive, but still it's very healthy. Even if it's people, even if it's woke people who think that Israel is doing white supremacy at the Palestinians, it's still very healthy for people to be protesting against these Jews, because that's what they're doing. When they're protesting Israeli policy, they might think they're taking a hit at white supremacy, but actually they're protesting these Jews.
And so the part of the mainstream media is going to, spin this as bad optics for pro-Palestinian protesters. One of the ex, formerly known as Twitter, profiles that was highlighted here in this article is Danny Morris. He says, not a good look as pro-Palestinian protesters target cancer hospital in New York's Upper East Side. The Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center also houses a pediatric day hospital. And the protesters were yelling, make sure they hear you. They're in the windows. So the mainstream is trying to paint this as, anti-Semitic people, pro-Palestinian protesters targeting a children's hospital. So I can see why they're doing this, though, because, like you said, you care so much about children. Why don't you care about the genocide in Palestine?
Yeah. And maybe, these children are very likely to have their parents visit them on a more or less daily basis. So, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if it's a good strategy or not. I don't know enough about the situation there. But possibly, you could be getting parents of children in hospitals thinking, wow, what if, if this was Gaza, the hospital would be being bombed. That's pretty inhumane when you think about it. Maybe the intention is to try to bring it home to the parents of the kids. And I don't know. Is it good strategy or not? I don't even know what's good strategy in terms of demonstrations. There has been a lot of talk about that. And we haven't talked about the demise of the NJP much, but I read a blog post. There's this guy who's, what does he write for? It's his own blog, and he has a George Floyd profile picture, which I guess is funny. And he's been calling this series of what are frankly attacks on Mike Enoch and the TRS people. he calls it the night of the long steak knives. But and you know, I really don't want to promote infighting and this type of attack. He does raise interesting issues in terms of you know, what is the role of demonstrations. And the guy writing this, I forgot his name, was criticizing the NJP for demonstrating, and he was praising the approach that David Duke had taken running for office. And I don't think that these are necessarily, you know, mutually exclusive things to do. I used to demonstrate a lot, but one point I make is that back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even into the aughts, one of the things about demonstrating was it was a good means of networking. And, you know, if you're talking about the 1970s or even the 1980s, even the 1990s, long distance phone calls were so, maybe not so much in the 90s, but long distance phone calls were expensive. Calling across state lines or even across county lines within a state could be expensive. And so there were a lot of things that demonstrations helped people do once upon a time that really aren't relevant anymore. Does that mean demonstrations aren't good? And the guy writing the article, you know, and I think it's fair to raise these questions, but the guy writing the article was saying, you know, no, governments aren't going to stop doing things just because you ask them to, right? Just because you get a group of people out carrying placards for a couple hours doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean the government's going to change things. But the word demonstration means you're demonstrating what you think. You're demonstrating your opinion. You're letting people know it. And not just the government, you're demonstrating it to the people in the community, to anybody who notices. So I don't know. Maybe this is going kind of astray, but we haven't talked, and I'm not saying we should talk about it. But I'm just bringing that up. The demonstrations. I'm glad these people are demonstrating. They're calling attention to these Jews, whether they think of it that way or not. And you know, I don't necessarily expect them. These demonstrations will necessarily be decisive in changing American policy. But even if they don't change American policy, I still think it's productive. It can be just as productive as what we do, talking about stuff on the internet in terms of educating people. So I don't know. I kick it over to you. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, demonstrations can be infiltrated. That may be part of the criticism. Mm-hmm. And there could be, you know, nefarious characters in the three-letter organizations under the U.S. government that mm-hmm. would want to discredit certain movements. And in this case, discredit the movement of pro-Palestinian demonstrations to speak out against the genocide of Palestinian children. And you could have that. You could have movements infiltrated and targeting a cancer hospital. That could be a thing. I think the NJP was infiltrated. You know, that's a huge possibility. Any organization that makes waves and that, you know, draws the attention of the Jewish dominated elites, they can be infiltrated. And it probably was. So that might be what you're witnessing, you know, when you're speaking of the demise of the NJP. Possibly they were infiltrated and all of that's kind of coming out in the wash. People leaving, people seeing that there's some sort of a, you know, nefarious plan going on. That could be part of it. It's not to say that the whole National Justice Party was illegitimate or planned from the beginning, but that it just got infiltrated and taken down.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be said of these pro-Palestinian protests. I'm sure they're infiltrated at the highest levels. And, you know, there's going to be a certain level of bad optics that are put out to the media, like what we see here. And so, you know, because we know that, that our government is pro-Jewish, they're Jewish dominated. And so anything that goes against that, I think there is a definitely the powers that shouldn't be have an incentive to infiltrate them and make them look bad. So maybe that's what's going on here. I don't know. I'm just sort of talking, you know, off the cuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, then speaking of demonstrations, the two biggest demonstrations that our people have been involved in the past, you know, number of years was Charlottesville and January 6th.
Both heavily infiltrated.
And both wind up being disasters for us. Yep. And our, you know, our people that were, you know, more or less allied with or have common cause with being thrown in prison, being financially ruined. And so I could understand people like Andrew Anglin, for instance, who after January 6th or at some point after January 6th started saying, look, we shouldn't be demonstrating. And, you know, the thing is, when you had all the Black Lives Matter demonstrators and they were allowed to riot and commit arson and mayhem and just completely get away with it, they were just allowed to get away with anything. And then we weren't. I mean, there was kind of a principle there. Why do we have to, renounce one of our constitutional freedoms, liberties, rights? Why should we have to surrender it while we see these it being completely abused by other people? But yet, you know, we weren't getting anything out of it. So it was a, you know, I think it's an appropriate discussion to have. So we don't have to devote the show to it. I just thought I'd bring it up. And, you know, we haven't talked about the NJP, but, I was just mentioning that in connect, but now you do have these big demonstrations, not just in America, but in a lot of places, in Europe and in the Arab world, you're having these big demonstrations. And I do think it's important to demonstrate, not necessarily do we need to demonstrate. I don't know how important it is for us to go and demonstrate against the war in Gaza, but a lot of people, a lot of leftists are, a lot of young kids are, and I certainly support them. I don't know if they might engage in bad optics, but I don't know. It's just my knee jerk thing. I've been involved in protest movements for so long that I like to see it. I don't, you know, one of my complaints over the past years has been to see the peace movement just completely die. And when you think of the peace movement, you think of big demonstrations, and it just became a non-thing. It stopped being a thing. So we'll see. We'll see. Do you want to continue with this, or do we have something else in the prep that will be more germane to a fun program?
You know, speaking of demonstrations, we got this thing going on. There's stuff going on in Ireland and Germany. In Ireland, you have hordes of third worlders under the government's sanction occupying a hotel.
There's a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email proudsouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Stuff going on in Ireland and Germany. In Ireland, you have hordes of third worlders under the government's sanction occupying a hotel, and you know, 4 or 5 star hotel. And there was a lot of protests against that, and the Irish police came in and basically shut down the protests and escorted the third world migrants into the hotel. That's the thing we can talk about. Before we move to Germany, let's just hit that.
Okay.
The Daily Storm recovered it. A horde of cops guard invaders against locals from a small town. From the Irish Times, the first asylum seekers have been moved into the Racket Hall Hotel in Roscrea, County Tipperary, amid a Garda presence. So the Garda are the cops. So but it, basically what happened was the migrants were moved in. The local townspeople protested around the hotel to try to keep them out. And the cops came in and escorted these migrants in at gunpoint. This is very similar to 1957, the forced desegregation in Little Rock, very similar to that. You know, the elites, the Jewish-dominated elites, are pushing this stuff on the people and the people don't want it, but they're pushing it anyway. They're risking a total backlash, but it just seems like they're not afraid of the backlash. It seems like they're just in the mindset of, we're going to do this anyway, and we don't care how many people you put on the streets, we're just going to force it. I mean, isn't this reminiscent of forced desegregation in America? The majority of the populace didn't want it, but it was forced at gunpoint. It was actually using hard power. So these people will use hard power when they need to, and they will risk total revolt. I mean, it was very plausible in Little Rock. It was very plausible that the whites could have come back with guns and done a total violent revolt, but they didn't do it. And it's like the system was gambling on the fact that they wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in other words, the Jewish dominated system was gambling on that fact. It was more so plausible in the 50s than it is now. It was more plausible in the 50s that citizens would have showed up at that high school in Little Rock armed to fight the National Guard. Of course, they didn't do it, but the system gambled on that. The whole fact that the system was willing to gamble on that is very telling. You know, like, how blatant are they?
Well, okay, so it's really blatant now. When you go back to Little Rock, and what was that, 1950, was it 56? It was sometime, 57, sometime in the second half of the 50s. And when you think of America at the time, all right, so in the civil rights movement at that point was entirely in the South. You had blacks in the North in cities, Chicago and Cleveland, New York, obviously, and they tended to be, and you didn't have the same level of formal segregation in the North, but public schools in the United States tend to be by school zone, and if the blacks are concentrated in geographically concentrated in neighborhoods, it's easy enough to draw the school boundaries to have schools that are going to be basically all black anyway, and then most of the schools, if they have any blacks at all, are going to have a small manageable number. And so if you look at the 1950s, 1950s, blacks were about 11% of the population. A big hunk of them were concentrated in the South. And so, you know, if you had a state like Vermont had only, the whole state only had like 500 black people in it. A lot of states only had a couple of percent blacks. So there were huge numbers of people who didn't have blacks in their daily experience. And I think these people who weren't experiencing blacks and weren't particularly threatened by desegregation because blacks weren't around them, these people outside the South supported desegregation of the South. Things are a lot different now. The proportion of blacks to whites has changed a lot. Maybe blacks are only 13.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email tom@republicbroadcasting.org. tom@republicbroadcasting.org.
Supported desegregation of the South. Things are a lot different now. The proportion of blacks to whites has changed a lot. Maybe blacks are only 13% now. They've gone up from 11 to 13%, but whites have gone from 87% down to, 52% or something. We're just barely a majority now. And so the ratio of whites to blacks, which used to be eight whites for every black, and those blacks were concentrated in particular areas. Now you're talking about, three and a half, less than four whites per every black. So, the ratio's gotten a lot worse. And then, of course, there's all sorts of other non-whites. And so I think the thing is, back then, there was a big hunk of the country that just out of some sort of principle was willing to support a government policy of integrating schools in the South. Because integration in the North, there wasn't the same degree of legal segregation, but there, like Boston, the integration of the Boston schools, the effective integration through busing, because it had to be done through busing in the North, because the blacks were just concentrated in certain neighborhoods in the cities. And so that didn't really come until the 70s. So in the 1950s, the whites in the rest of the country, for the most part, wouldn't have felt threatened by the actions of the Eisenhower administration and the Kennedy administration in the South forcing integration at gunpoint. I think now, like in Ireland, people, like everybody really is threatened. And so to the extent that, you know, the government's doing it anyway, yeah, it that does show the same kind of complete disregard for the popular will that you're talking about. You see that now. There is a complete disregard of popular will. And so the question is really, is that disregard for popular will because they know something we don't, that they feel so secure, they have good reason to feel secure and they can do whatever they want? Or is it just they're overplaying their hand and they've overplayed their hand? They're just used to getting what they want. And maybe they're really in for a big surprise. What do you think?
Well, the results are telling. I mean, the immigrants in Ireland are occupying the hotel now, you know, and I'm drawing the correlation to the desegregation in 1957. You know, the blacks were segregated into the schools. And so it's like the system is just throwing out some dice and they're like, we know we don't want this. We know that you're capable of resisting, but we're going to do it anyway. There's this, that's the attitude of the system now, is it's, you know, they know that what they're doing is not popular, but they're doing it anyway. And they're risking, a total pushback, but the pushback's not happening. So for every instance that the pushback doesn't happen, it enables the system that much more, and they're going to keep doing it. So, you know, in Ireland, a precedent is set. It's set just like a precedent was set in 1957, Arkansas. The system can do what it wants, and they don't have to fear public revolt. That seems to be the precedent that's being set.
Yeah,
that's the point that I was trying to make.
They don't have to fear it until they do. Until they do have to fear it.
And well, I mean, like,
when might that ever happen?
What's the end? Like, what are they not capable of doing? I mean, they force child trannyism. They force, you know, third world immigrants on the populace. I mean, in so many cities in the U.S., you know, you have the same thing happening. Illegal immigrants are occupying hotels and getting paid debit cards, $5,000 worth. And while there's homeless Americans, you know, dying in the streets, the populace is not going to push back. And the system has realized this, and so they understand that they can push whatever they want to push. That's the whole point that I was making.
And I think that's a correct description of how the ruling class thinks. They think they can do this, and maybe they can, and maybe they can't. So what I think back on, and I often talk about the Soviet Union. Here I'm going to talk more about Eastern Europe than the Soviet Union, but the Eastern Europe and the Soviet Union, the Soviet bloc during the Cold War era, they weren't as ruthless as the Bolsheviks, but they were in charge. You had communist parties in the Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe, and they were in charge, and they did throw enemies in jail. It wasn't the mass brutality that they had during the Bolshevik era or during Stalin's era, but it was heavy-handed, and they seemed to be like really, really very much in control. But the there were dissidents in the population, and there was an awareness that they were falling behind or at least not catching up with the West, that there was a significant difference in standards of living. People had become aware of that. in America, America or West Germany or Italy, they were driving around in their cars, which were nicer. And whereas where they lived, you had to get on these long waiting lists for everything. The system just wasn't providing for them. They weren't getting good results. And they became increasingly aware that they weren't getting good results. And then quicker than anybody really imagined, because in 1988, it didn't seem like this was right around the corner. Yeah, you had some reforms going on in the Soviet Union. You'd had some movement, the solidarity movement in Poland during the 80s, but it didn't look like everything was going to fall apart, but until it did. It did fall apart. And, the next thing you know, you had Ceausescu, who was one of the strictest rulers, and he was being murdered by his own soldiers, and everything happened really, really fast. And it happened, in part because of the contrast with the rest of the world. And, we're the countries that are the most egregious in what you're talking about, in completely disregarding the will of their own people. These are the democratic countries. I mean, Andrew Anglin's always joking that we live in a democracy, and in a democracy, what the people think doesn't matter at all, right? He always makes jokes like that. You look around and, there's something to it. The democratic system of government is the one system of government where the will of the people doesn't matter. People look around, and it is our democratic countries, our democracies, that are just letting in all of these immigrants that people don't want. And really nobody, I won't say nobody, but it's not just white people who don't like the immigrants. Like in the United States, blacks don't like immigrants. And to an extent, the older immigrant communities that are established here often don't like the new ones. Their competition or whatever. The blacks, no matter who comes into the country, like if you get a new group coming into the country, whereas the blacks used to be like, they were the biggest minority. Now Hispanics are the biggest minority. Whoever comes into the country, they all do better than the blacks. And so the blacks, instead of being, even the ones, the ones who do better than blacks, but still are they might still be competing for welfare, might still be competing for affirmative action. So I don't know. I guess I'm kind of rambling, but the main point is that sometimes things happen very, very fast. And I think we're in a very destabilized world. We're in a world where United States is being taken, the United States and these other countries, the EU, are being are losing war. They're no longer dominating the international system the way they did. And I think in that kind of international environment, that can pave the way for political changes within the countries, just like the decline of the Eastern Bloc in the Cold War helped lead to massive and pretty quick changes within the Eastern countries. All right, I talked enough. I kick it back to you, Jeremy.
Well, I mean, you would think that the populace would demand change and force change, but it's not happening. I mean, what you're seeing on a global level is the system is just imposing its will on people. So we mentioned Little Rock in the 50s. We mentioned the situation in Ireland where immigrants are occupying hotels. Let's go to Germany, The Guardian. Thousands of tractors block Berlin as farmers protest over fuel subsidy cuts. So in the name of climate change, these farmers, their livelihood is being threatened because of the government's policy on climate change. And so the farmers protest by blocking traffic, bringing in their tractors. I mean, so yeah, this is all well and good, but what is it solving? Is there government policy change because of it? No. you know, they're blocking traffic. They're only hurting their fellow citizens. They're making rackets. They're clogging up traffic. People can't sleep, you know, around the city because of the horns blowing and all this. So you can look at it and you can say, well, you know, good for these people that they're protesting. But because of the systems, and climate change is a thing, you know, since the Industrial Revolution, I think there has been significant change in the climate because of, you know, man-made Industrial Revolution type things. But the solutions to these are detrimental to the public. The solutions that the governments of the world are coming to due to climate change are very detrimental. And these farmers in Germany are, you know, protesting these fake and gay solutions. So you have this situation in Germany where farmers are, you know, totally locking down the city. But what type of reform is coming? Nothing. Maybe some politicians are giving lip service to the protesters, but are they really affecting change? The system just seems to go on and ignore the populist uprising and even suppress it. So that's what I'm getting at, is mm-hmm. that even though you have a seemingly populist uprising, and Germany is the latest in that, the farmers, there's no litigation. There's no politicians making laws that cater to these people or that relieve them from, you know, the situation that they're in. They just acknowledge them and they say, well, that's, you know, that's how it is. It's almost like this whole global agenda is just being pushed. And regardless of what the populace does, it's just going to be pushed no matter what. You're going to have child trannyism. You're going to have ridiculous responses to climate change. You're going to have third world immigration. Whether you like it or not, it doesn't matter what you do. Right. That seems to be what I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm. And this is these things that you're talking about. These are coming from the so-called Western governments, the Western elite, which is very Jewish dominated. And people can say, oh, well, you know, Putin's going along with it, or China's going along with it. Look at this or look at that. And even if you want to say that they're going along with it, they're not the instigators of it. They're not pushing it. And, they to the extent they go along with it, it's like, well, they go along to get along. But we're at a very pivotal point in history where the so-called Western elites, which have been dominating the world in our lifetime, these Western countries, at least the countries, forget about the elites, but the countries that they've been dominating and have been using as a vehicle, these countries are in massive decline. And the countries that are in ascendance are not ones that were pushing this. Maybe they've gone along with it, but now that they're in the driver's seat, are they going to be, if Putin and Russia and China are in the driver's seat, are they going to be pushing for the climate agenda? Are they going to be pushing for the trannyism and the gayness and all of this stuff? You know, they might have gone along with some of these things because they had to cooperate within a system that was dominated by countries that are in turn dominated by this Jewish elite. But I think things are potentially going to change quite a bit. We'll see. How much more time do we have? We only have about 5 more minutes. What do you think about that?
I mean, you know, that's the point. So what legislation has this brought forth in Germany? Okay, so tractors have blocked the roadways, and people are losing sleep in that community. What legislation has this brought? I mean, yeah. The powers are just sitting back and saying, okay, here's protesters.
Yeah. So, okay, you look at Germany, and Germany is currently ruled by this coalition of the Social Democrats, a very old party, dates back to the 1800s. It's kind of a socialist party. So the Social Democrats, the Free Democrats, which is kind of almost kind of a libertarian party, pro-business party, but and then the Greens. And the Greens in particular, even though they're not as big, they don't have as many members of parliament as the Social Democrats, the Greens have the more dominant personalities in the government. They've been pushing this. They've been pushing the war in Ukraine, which is not something that Greens are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be a peace party, but they're not.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Dominant personalities in the government. They've been pushing this. They've been pushing the war in Ukraine, which is not something that Greens are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be a peace party, but they're not. And the coalition is very unpopular. So traditionally, the rivals of the Social Democrats are the Christian Democrats. That was Merkel's party. She made a mess of things. What you're seeing in Germany is there's a party called the Alternative for Deutschland. And it's not exactly a second coming of national socialism. It's not. even though it's accused of that. It's more kind of a Trumpism type of thing. They are pro-Israel for whatever retarded reason. Well, we know why they're pro-Israel. But they are very populist, and they're nationalists, and they're anti-immigration, and they pull way ahead of the Greens. They pull ahead of the Social Democrats now, and they are they may not win an election, but they're alarming the powers that be enough that the powers that be are looking to just flat out ban the party. Doesn't sound very democratic, but just make the party illegal. And in Britain, the conservative, the Tory government is extremely unpopular. Now they're just going to go in. There is no alternative for England kind of party that's waiting in the wings. It's just going to go back to the Labour Party, who has some guy who's not going to be any kind of improvement. But there is a great deal of dissatisfaction with the governments. A great deal of dissatisfaction, and so the incumbents, the prime ministers of Germany and Britain and the president of France, they don't have too much of a political future. The question is, are there alternatives? Germany might have an alternative that's kind of interesting. United States, Jim Fetzer, a day or two, maybe a couple days ago, was talking about Trump and all the things that he thinks Trump is going to do. And Jim Fetzer gave what I guess you could say is maybe the best case plausible scenario for a Trump administration. It was maybe the rosiest picture that actually possibly could come true. There are a lot of other pictures, that wouldn't be as rosy. So there might be semi-alternatives in Germany and here where there at least there will be a partial change of direction. Other places, there doesn't seem to be anybody waiting in the wings. But if the system winds up collapsing, who knows? But we're almost out of time. Do you have any final thoughts, Jeremy?
Yeah, you're making my point. The system is going to enact its change. Climate change measures to the detriment of farmers and businesses, forced child trainingism, enforced third world migration. They're going to enact that regardless of the level of populist uprising. They'll just dismiss it and weather it out, and the change will happen. That's where I think we're at. We're at this level where the elites have recognized that they can implement whatever they want, and they can get what they want regardless of the pushback.
They might think that. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't count on anything happening domestically to overthrow our elites, but I think what's happening externally, I think Hamas is probably a bigger threat to our elites than MAGA Trump people. But we'll see. Okay.
Thank you, Patrick. You stay classy.
I'm getting better at it, and I thank you for joining me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows too.
Ease-Off LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio.
only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.